Hello. Thank you for joining us today for the Harvest Time Church weekly podcast. As you listen today, we pray that you are richly blessed and that the message would guide you deeper into your walk with Jesus and help you to advance his kingdom here on earth. Have a blessed day.
So we have started a series. We're on week three. So we started a series talking about combating the compromises of culture, okay? So we started first week one talking about perspective, having a biblical Christian worldview, being able to see clearly the world around us. And then last week we looked at purpose. Purpose is one of those things that we continually, I think, struggle to figure out and figure out what it looks like for our life. But today we're going to talk about priorities. Now, that's kind of like can be a touchy topic because we know that there's a lot of priorities that are at battle amongst each other. Let me just put it that way. So can I pray over us that we'd have ears to hear? Because let me tell you what, in this message, as I prepared it, it spoke to me as much as I hope that it speaks to you, okay? So Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you, God, that as you speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would create the change, that you would create the boldness to walk out what you're asking us to do this morning. Lord, I thank you that you would just allow me to speak clearly and efficiently your heart in regards to the topic of priorities. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for each one here. And Lord, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice, streaming or in the house, would experience the power of your goodness and leave change today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to jump right into this battle for our priorities. Like, priorities are like a tug of war, right? Some win, some lose. But nonetheless, you can't do everything, so you have to choose to do something. How many of you ever been conflicted with priorities, right? Especially when you have high priorities, like two things that are like, man, which one do we do? Like, and you can't do both, but you have to pick which one you're going to do. So, But have you ever thought about how priorities affect your everyday life? Right? You know, how many of you forget to eat? And take that long. Some of y'all, man, it don't tell you. Eventually you're going to eat something, right? Like, there's certain priorities that, you know, like, I'm not going to not eat. Like, you know, I might forget a meal or leave the house too quick, but like, it's not like, oh man, I'm just not a priority, right? How many of you didn't go to sleep last night? Right, that's a default priority, right? If you don't go to sleep, eventually you will fall asleep because you will wear yourself out, right? So we see what we do are priorities, what we choose to do by default, what we do, all of these things. So this morning I want us to focus on having a God-centered priority, right? Priorities that reflect what is in the heart of God, what is He asking us to do, what is He leading us to do. So when we have good God-centered priorities, it can get us great results throughout our lifetime. Okay. But having this world-centered priority, God showed me that sometimes worldly priorities, it's like the hamster wheel. Anybody ever had a hamster? My hamster time was short-lived, right? You know what that means. Like, it didn't last as long as we thought. But how many of you have ever seen a hamster in a hamster wheel? Everybody gets that example, right? You know, pursuing these things, these priorities of the world, I think a lot of times we get those kind of results, right? We can go slow and we're like, man, look, we're really getting something done. We can start running faster, feeling like we're getting a lot of things done, when reality, as soon as you step off the hamster wheel, where did you go? Nowhere, right? You know, it really did, you know, it exerted energy. You felt like you were working real hard. But, you know, priorities in my life, I hate not having progress. Is anybody else like that? Working hard, putting in overtime, saving up for a vacation. The vacation comes and there's no money in the bank. But there's like, well, what are we going to do? We're going to go anyway. It's a priority, but you're broke, right? And then you go into debt. You got other problems. Now you got all kinds of like messed up priorities, right? Come on, I'm just playing. Like, you know, hopefully, you know, that's not the, but you know, where you're working or you're doing things, you know, anybody ever exercise, try to lose weight and it wasn't working? You're so mad. Could have just not been exercising and done what you want. It wouldn't matter. You know, get real frustrated, right? You know, but we want results on what we do. But if we focus on priorities, and I believe if we keep those priorities in place long enough, you begin to see results. I'll tell you what, if you eat a salad for dinner and you wake up in the morning, not a lot of change is going to happen by tomorrow morning. You know that, right? I think we think like that, though. That if we'll do it once, it'll change everything. But consistent priorities, consistent habits, consistent routines, a consistent schedule. How many of you like consistent schedules? How many of you are 100% spontaneous and you don't even know what you're doing this next week? Dangerous place to be, right? You're like, well, if the wind blows east, I'm going east. If it's blowing west, I'm going west, right? So we want to have balance in this. So when we don't have a God-centered priority and we have this world-centered priority, it can lead us into a life that is kind of the equivalent, and there's a scripture from Ecclesiastes that I'm going to share with you. It's like chasing after the wind. Has anybody ever been foolish enough to chase after the wind? And if you caught it or were trying to catch it, I would have loved to watch. Okay, so this passage from Ecclesiastes 2, 10 through 11, and this is King Solomon. He is the king of all wisdom. This is what he did. Now, this is kind of a radical passage. He gave himself permission to do anything and everything he wanted to do in a worldly basis. And we're going to see at the end of this passage what he came to. Like, now, how many of you know that's not necessarily the voice of reason? Like, son, do whatever you want. Make stupid decisions, and then we'll figure out where it gets. Thank God Solomon did it so we don't have to do it. Just telling you, but this is what he said. He says, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. You're like, whoa, whoa, that's dangerous. He says, I refused my heart no pleasure. If I wanted it, I did it. If I saw it, I took it. I mean, this is a little radical living, you know? But a lot of us think, well, if I could just do that, I would be satisfied. But here's what it says. My heart took delight in all of my labor, and this was the reward from all my toil. So at the end of it, after he denied himself no pleasurable thing, he didn't deny himself anything that his eyes desired. It says in verse 11, yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done, and all that I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. All of the work, all of the pleasures, you know, like, and think about it. What is the thing you're pursuing, and why are you pursuing it? And if there is this hope that if I will get to this point, if I will just save this much, if I could just get a new job, if I could just find the right spouse, if my wife would just start cooperating, if my husband would just get off the couch... It don't matter what it is. You can have all of these things that you're working and trying to change in your life, but at the end, there are some things that is just going to end up being meaningless unless we realize what is the meaning to all of this. So the goal is to get off the hamster wheel, quit chasing after things that really maybe aren't getting us the results we want, maybe adjusting some of our priorities to put in place the right priorities, okay? So we give you a few more passages of scripture just from some scriptural guidance this morning. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Verse 17, the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Okay, so that kind of revokes King Solomon's method. So just like, don't be like, I'm going to do what Solomon did. Don't do that. Okay? So this next scripture just talks about making sure we're refraining from those things. We're focusing on not loving the things of the world. But what I'm going to challenge you with is perhaps there's more. Perhaps there's more to the equation, just the pleasures, the next big house, the next best job. Like, we can chase after all of these things because we realize the things we are chasing after set the priorities and the tone of our life. Okay? Let's look at another passage of scripture, Matthew 6, 33 through 34. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So understand this, priorities in life are driven by what we value or deem as the most important. Right, you know, there's pecking order to what we decide to do, what we don't decide to do. But we're all on the search for the best life. Can we agree to that? We're trying to live the best life. We're trying to find this balance between, like, living and thriving and all of these things. But there's times in our life where we fail to prioritize accurately, okay? Now, I would challenge you that if you want to know where you're going, look daily and weekly where your priorities lie. Because your priorities on a weekly or daily basis is going to determine your destination long term. So let's use the example of savings. Some of you may have savings accounts. Some of you may have no savings account. If you don't start putting money away, you will never have a savings account. Got it? Amen. So how do we do that? I'm going to put a quarter a day. And you're like, wow, really ambitious. But guess what? If you're putting zero versus a quarter, you're doing something. You do that every single day for the whole year. I don't know what the math is, but you're going to have a whole lot more than when you started. So that discipline, that priority of doing it over and over again and making it a priority, because the priority would be what? To have a savings account. For me to have that, I can't complain and be mad that, oh, well, they have a savings account and I don't. We change the priority, we change the discipline, we change what we do because it's important to us, and then we change the result and we change the path that is before us. Right? Same rule. We don't save for a rainy day. When the rainy day comes, what happens? It's a bad day. Right? It's like going outside with no umbrella, no safety net. You're going to get wet. Your socks will be sloshy and soaked, and it's going to be a bad time. Right? I think so. When we talk about priorities, we talk about goals, we talk about things that are important, we have to understand, what are our priorities daily? What are our priorities weekly? Because if we really look at those closely, we will know what our life will look like in the future. Now, those can be good things, those can be bad things, but we have to understand our priorities are leading us somewhere. Okay? All right, so if you want to know where you're going, look in the direction of your daily priorities that they are leading you. So everyone has priorities, even if you don't want to admit it. So our schedule is what identifies our priorities. Now, I know we don't live by a schedule, but we kind of live by a schedule, right? If you know you got to be at work tomorrow, you know what time you got to be there, even though you're like, well, I don't know what I'm doing this week. If you got a job, you know you're going to work. Like, you're not like, oh, I'm going to not go to work this week, right? No, we know what we're doing kind of loosely. But your schedule, here's what your schedule does. It will reveal your top priorities. Okay, what makes the schedule is the top priority. I'm just going to tell you that. So when we put these things on the schedule, it causes all of those priorities to clearly stand out from everything else that is not as important. I'll tell you what, when you got a big full schedule, cutting the grass ain't always the top priority. Right? I got a mortgage payment due, or I got a ball game I'm going with my kids. Like, I mean, that grass is going to have to wait. Like, it's not like, oh, I got to do this first. If that's you, let's talk after this time together, because we got to flip those priorities, right? We want our priorities to reflect what is important to us, what is important to God, and make sure those things are aligning, okay? So the things that we give the most time or attention to are the things that are the most important to us. These are the priorities in our lives. So I did a little bit of research this week looking at, what does the world say, what does the internet, what does Google say are the top priorities? And I looked at a list, and here's kind of I just listened to them. I didn't jot them all down because there's a lot of them, but these were the top tier of most of the list: relationships, career, finance, family, health, personal growth, self-care, and education. Another list said self-care, education and learning, meaningful work, exciting hobbies, fulfilling relationships, alone time, and travel. Now, as I looked at this list, these are all good things. These are all things when we look and say, man, I want, yeah, oh man, come on, brother, let's preach it, right? But what caused me a little bit, that got my attention here, was that a lot of these priorities are derived from a self-centered perspective versus a God-centered perspective. Like, it's kind of like, man, living my life up, like it's the end after this life. Like, so like, I think that's how the world lives sometimes. Like, man, I get one chance at this, I'm going to live it up. You know, I had some family members that, man, a lot of debt, and they always had the funnest, nicest toys. Like, and I was like, what are you doing? Like, and their perspective was like, you only live once, you can't take it with you, so buy all you can now. And in my brain, I'm like, well, what happens who's paying for all that? What do you do with outstanding debt of that magnitude? Like, that's how I'm thinking, right, as a adult now. But like, it's a mentality of just like accruing all of these things, all of this fun stuff, all of this travel, exciting hobbies, whatever it is. But as I looked at this, they focused on success, education, living your best life. Now, hear me. I'm not saying live a horrible life. Okay, you got to hear some perspective in there. But we want to focus on not just the things that are temporary and miss the things that are eternal. Okay, why is this important? Glad you asked. Matthew 16, 25 through 26. Verse 25, this is that last slide. Stephen Eating, all right? He says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. Verse 26, and this is really, really what got my attention when we're talking about these priorities. What good would it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? You gain the whole world. So think about that. What does gaining the whole world look like to us by definition? Man, having a lot of money, being able to retire, big stuff, nice stuff, living it up, the perhaps the American dream. When we talk about gaining the whole world, like that's what we think, right? Is there another perspective to that? I think that's probably a pretty accurate, like, Nice trucks, nice vehicles, nice home, you know, tons of money, land, property, beachfront property. I mean, I don't know, like I think about gaining the whole world. But what it contrasts here says, what good is it if you gain the whole world, but then the contrast is what? Yet you forfeit your soul. You focus on all of the things temporary and you miss eternity because of these priorities, because of these focuses, because of these things that somebody valued as important. Now, I'll tell you what, if we look at Scripture, and I don't have time to dissect all of those, like, you know, God is not going to say, hey, who has the most money? But he actually says, hey, who is the most generous? It's better to give than to receive. You know, there's even a passage of Scripture that says, hey, you sacrificed here, you're going to be rewarded in here in heaven, right? You know, like, it's always backwards. He says, the first will be last, the last will be first. Like, you know, the kingdom is like an upside down worldly system, right? So I think just keeping that perspective, like we don't want to chase after the things of the world. We don't want to pursue all of these things, get to the end and figure out it was meaningless, like chasing the wind. We got to the end and we says, wow, I'm still not satisfied. There are things still missing because I think these things can distract, they can entertain for a little bit. But how many of you know even fun things, the new wears off? You know, I remember, you know, as a young kid, we had a swimming pool, and man, every other kid thought it was amazing, but it was just kind of like same old for us. We owned the swimming pool. We go every day if we wanted, and it was like kind of just like, yeah. But what's next? Like when we get to that place of discontentment and the new wears off, we don't want to keep chasing after that next best, the things of the world, but we want to look at these things that have eternal value, okay? So God-centered priorities, they focus on not just the here and now, but on leaving a spiritual legacy that can affect our families and our friends and generations to come, okay? So the best generational blessing we can give our children, they are spiritual. They are not financial. Now, I know nobody would complain about a good inheritance check, but I'm telling you, it is not the most important. You know, we can't allow money to be our God. We can't put our trust in finances. We can't put trust in our job and being able to accrue this wealth. But there is a generational blessing that we can leave to our family. So one of the biggest challenges of our culture is finding balance between what the world has to offer. And it causes a struggle. Why? Because we stay way crazy busy. Anybody living that right now? Like, it never stops. Like, you know, there's always something to do, right? And we build our schedules that way. We prioritize things in our life that way. And then sometimes it can cause us a lot of, like, issues in our own life. So there are dangers of being too busy. Do you know that? Let me help you out. Psychologists and all these things. Continually being overscheduled with a perpetually packed schedule can cause stress. Anybody got stress? Why am I so stressed? I got 15 million things to do this week, right? You know, like, it's like your schedule is like making you stressed. It can lead to anxiety. It can lead to depression. It can lead to burnout. And it can significantly impact one's mental health. You ever lay in bed and you're like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, thinking about what you got the next day? You might have some priority scheduling problems, right? When we're that worried, we are that concerned, we are that overwhelmed, maybe because all of the priorities that we've laid before us, okay? Oftentimes, when we get something off of our plate and we get a little bit of margin, you know what we do? Instinctively, we add more to the plate. Man, I got a little bit of room. What can I fit in there? We don't just bask in the exciting moment of, wow, I get to sit here and I don't have to do anything. Right? We fill up that plate. We fill up that margin in our life. We add something to our schedule. And it just so happens that we are just as busy as we were when we started. We accomplish nothing, right? Except stress, depression, anxiety, being wore out, all of these things, okay? But the enemy, he wants us to be so busy that we don't have time necessary to do the things that make the biggest impact. If he can distract us, if he can prevent us from doing the things that God deems as most important, I think he kind of wins. Not that we're going to hell, right? Like, hear what I'm saying, but what did we accomplish with our lives? What significant impact did we make? I think our priorities have a big part of the results we get in our life. Now, here's what you got to know. If everything is important, then nothing is important. Because if I ask you, what's important? And I got an unending list and everything is in the same category. Okay, hold on. we better start dividing, like, hey, what is most important? Because if everything's important, nothing's important. So some have to stand out, some have to rise, and some have to kind of fall in their rightful place, okay? So here's some clarity questions for you. Have you ever prayed about what to add to your plate or what you should take off? We don't pray about it. We just respond. Like, I'm telling you, like, me and my wife, you know, there's two of us, two cars. Man, this last week, my truck was in the shop, so we're trying to figure out, okay, y'all can walk to there. I'll get a ride here. I mean, it gets crazy, right, when we're trying to run in two different directions because there's two of us, three kids, running three different ways. But, you know, have you really ever prayed about what is on your plate, what you should take off to your plate, what you should take off your plate, or when you have that margin, should you add something back to your plate, or is that God's greatest gift for you in that moment just to, like, oh, wow. This is nice. Let me go drink a cup of coffee and sit in my recliner. Can you imagine that? But we just kind of respond with, like, hey, more is efficient. Getting more done, more done, more done. Hamster wheel mentality, right? Run, 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 run. How fast? As fast as I can. All right. Another question. How much do you allow your kiddos to be part of? Just telling you, I got three of them. Now, don't get all bent out of shape. Hey, if you get your kids to be involved in a lot of stuff, don't complain about all the stuff you get to be part of. Self-inflicted, right? My kid's going to do everything. All right, you get to do everything. Now you got more than one kid. Now you get to do everything times three. Have fun with that, right? You know. So I think asking that question, you know, how much are we allowing our kids to do? What are we allowing them to do? You understand most of your kids will not be pro ball players. You're 5 foot flat and you can't dunk. You might not be Muggsy Bogues. You ain't going to make it to the NBA. It's kind of just a hobby or something that you can do. But we put the emphasis in it, like, oh, you don't understand. I'm like, no, I think I understand. Statistically, reality-wise. Now, if your kid's built for it and you know that that's a mark that God has put on their life, like, man, all for it. But be realistic. Find a good friend that'll be honest with you if you're deceived. Maybe, like, I don't know. It's like, oh, I think he can do it. There was a video. I'm sorry. My mind went to a little video reel where the mom's piping the kid up. The kid throws the ball to his dad, and the wife's like, man, this kid's going to be famous one day. And then the dad throws it back, and the kid isn't watching and nails him right in the face. It's like, he ain't going nowhere, right? You know, like, he just, but, and I'm not saying that. Find that perspective. If there's something that is by God's design a great gift that God is going to use, by all means, excel in that. But don't, you know, just, does that help? I mean, I'm not trying to be mean with this. I mean, like, my kids like doing a lot of stuff. I like watching my kids do a lot of stuff. It's like one of the greatest joys. I love sports. I think the only thing funner than me doing sports is watching my kids play sports. But, you know, that's kind of, I kind of see it as a relaxation. It's a joy, and it's not a, but if it's burden and it's stressing you out, but how much do you allow your kids to be part of? Another question, how busy do you make your weekend or your day off? You know, it's supposed to be day off. You got that? Well, it's my day off, and I'm going to doom, 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 doom. Man, you get up at 8, and you slow down at 10 o'clock at night. Don't sound like a day off, right? What do you do on your day off, right? Have you ever told somebody no because what they asked you to do was not in line with your greatest priorities? All right, or are you a yes person? Man, hey, you want to go to lunch? No, I want to go home and take a nap. But you say yes because you don't want to let your friend down. And now you're tired and you broke your budget and you didn't, you know, whatever. Like, that's how it works, right? We just say yes, 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 rather than knowing ahead of time, like, hey, here's the plan, here's what I need or whatever. Like, so thinking about those things. All right. So to keep our priorities focused on pleasing God, I've come up with the top three priorities that should never be missed from your list of priorities. Now, there can be some more that you add to this list, but I would say these top three got to be on your top five, top six. I don't know how many priorities we should have without, like, having too many priorities that it's unsustainable. But these top three priorities, they're easy to identify, but they are often neglected. To make these priorities a priority, you have to prioritize them by focusing on them and being intentional on focusing on these priorities every single day. So let's go through this list. The three highest priorities in life, number one is God. Okay? I'll give you all three of them just so I can kind of, like, whet your appetite. It's going to be God, it's going to be family, and it's going to be ministry. Okay? So looking at God, Exodus 20:30. You shall have no other gods before me. We know this is one of the Ten Commandments. I think a lot of times we're like, oh, it's okay, God understands. Like, and we get really like twisted with priorities and put things like, you know, the definition of a God is anything that we're trusting in or put in a higher position than God. That's sitting on the throne, that is your trust, that is your lifeline, that is your source. What is your trust in, right? But it says, you shall have no other gods before me. How many of you know this should probably be a pretty good standard? Right? I'm just telling you, like, you know, when we look at life, like, that should be a no-brainer. We should put God first. If we're not putting God first, all of a sudden, the whole priority world begins to derail, okay? But God is number one. So think about the hub on a bicycle. You know, when you look at a bicycle, you have all the spokes that go out, but that wheel is held intact by the hub. It's the middle. It connects everything out. We need to make sure that our lives, when we put God first, it's wired and it's built like that, where everything we do comes from the hub, and then it spokes out to the tire, right? So God has to be the center. He has to be the focus point of all of it. Proverbs 3:6, it says, in all of your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. It says, in all of your ways, submit to him. Not just the ones you think you need help with. You know, we're pretty guilty of that. Oh, when we get in a bind, all of a sudden, oh, Lord, help me. You get in a bind. Lord, give me wisdom. But it says, in all of your ways. That means in everything you do. When you got a full schedule, when you got a lax schedule, when you don't even know what to schedule because you're looking at all the stuff you got to do, right? You know, on all of your ways, acknowledge him. And then the path before you will make its way straight. Another way to say it is in everything you do, put God first. Like, that's what we're talking about. God is number one. Number one, that's it. So we know God is first, but our priorities that we're doing daily and weekly will reflect if that is true. So the best identifier of what we give our time to outside of work, now let me put that there, because like work is like, it's tough. Like, you got to go to work. If you want to keep your job, you got to show up. You got, you know, like when they tell you to go home, you got to go home. When you're supposed to show up, you got to show up. So I'm going to say all of the things that we do maybe outside of work will kind of point to what is our greatest priority, okay? Now I'm going to talk a little bit about when we talk about ministry, where work and ministry kind of work hand in hand, but everything outside of work, you can kind of control. When I worked nights all night, I couldn't be like, oh, well, I'm going to go cut the grass or I'm going to go do this. I couldn't do it. Like, you're at work. Guys, you know what I'm talking about? You understand? Like, when you're at work, you're kind of stuck like Chuck. But when you get home, what do you do with your home time? What do you do when you have time available to carve out those priorities or those things that matter most to you? Okay. So when we look at those things, we have to ask, what is the priority? So we want to wrap our priorities around God, not God around our priorities, right? We try to do things that God doesn't want us to do, and then we're like, God bless it, right? You buy the car, and then you say, Lord, help me provide the finances before you ask God if you should buy the vehicle. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, we get kind of the horse in front of the cart. We're not using this, like, you know, keeping him first. Getting him involved in everything you do. Like asking God those questions. Lord, do I got my kids involved in too much? Am I being too busy on my weekend? Am I telling my friends no because you want to spend more time with me? Like, I mean, you got to get God in this, in helping you clarify these priorities, okay? So I pulled up pureflix.com. How many of you know what Pureflix is? It's kind of web hosted, but it's Christian. It's edited. It's kind of cleaner entertainment. But they came up with 10 ways to put God first in a modern world, and I thought it was really, really good. So I'm going to give you those 10 things really, really, really quickly. If one of these stand out to you as something you can apply, jot it down. But number one, it says, start your day with prayer. Huh, imagine that. Rocket science, right? How do we put God first? We start your day with prayer. Secondly, subscribe to a Christian podcast. Read a Christian book. Play a morning sermon or a devotional. Journal your faith. Journaling is a big thing that can kind of help us get our day focused, put in God first. Keep an eye on your media intake, right? How much media are you putting in? Pray throughout your day. Take every single struggle to God, right? Not just when you're like bloop, 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 bottom of the ocean. Like when you're treading water, you're like, oh no, here comes a big wave. Like, I think I can make it. I think, not when you, every single problem, take every single struggle to God. Look for ways to help others. This is something I think we get away from. I don't know where we quit doing this, but memorize a verse per week. Imagine that, right? Write it down, memorize it, meditate on it. Help others connect with God. Remember, this list is how can we put God first in our lives in a modern world? Volunteer at church. End your day with a devotion. Okay? And then lastly, make a list of gratitude. Things that you're thankful for. Things that kind of reshape that perspective. So this is when we say putting God first, this is the best way we can do it as a priority. Start and end your day with God. Number one, good. Help somebody. All right. Number two, family. So God has built us to function within family, not separate from it. Okay? I know sometimes it seems like the family may not be the blessing that the Bible said it is, but ideally in a right situation with everybody doing what they should be doing, responding with the right heart, God blesses families. Family is a blessing. Okay? Now I know some of you are like, you don't know my family. I'm just saying, when everybody, you know, is doing, you know, you got me. Okay, let me keep going. All right, but he's built us to be part of family. So family is this blessing, you know, especially when each member of that family functions in a biblical expectation or in the role that he's asked them to. There's times where, you know, he asked the husband to love. He asked the wife to respect. He asked the children to be honorable. There's a command to serve each other, to take care of each other. When all of this stuff is happening, man, that family's a blessing. You start neglecting these things, and all of a sudden, it's not. So, this is the reason that family is such an important priority. If you are failing within your family, at some point, it will begin to affect everything else in your life. I'm just telling you, like, you know, you're not okay with your spouse, your kids, and all, like, that relationship is just stressed. It is going to begin to trickle downstream to all of the other priorities. Because remember, I said God, family, and ministry; these are top tier priorities, right? You know, so it's going to trickle down because these are the top priorities, okay? So when we just focus on maybe ministry work, or but we neglect this relationship with God and our daily engagement with our families, man, things begin to derail, okay? Finding that balance, you know, in family. 1 Timothy 5:8, this is like one of the hardest scriptures like I think about when I think about family, or people want to say, family's not my problem. It says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, especially their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. All right. I got you, Lord, right? You know, like, it's family, primary family, that family unit. It is a big deal to God, okay? So here's what's important. We need to know that ministry starts in the home. Ministry isn't just for in the church, right? You know, ministry starts in the home, okay? 1 Timothy 3:5, this instruction is to overseers and deacons, but let me tell you what, this can apply to all of us. Verse 5 of 1 Timothy 3, it says, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Right, we want to take care of the church, but our families are a mess. And we think, it's all right, I'm doing the Lord's work, when we have neglected one of the primary responsibilities of what we have been instructed to do. You neglect your family long enough, ministry will suffer. So remember, we're talking going down. Ministry is number three on my list. So we don't focus on prioritizing the family and doing what we need in the family. It is going to affect ministry. It's going to affect work. It's going to affect everything in our life. Okay. So it begins at the house, okay? So ministry in our home, it's one of the ministries that we will each be personally accountable to from God for what we did or didn't do, right? You know, like, you know how crazy it'd be? I get to heaven, Lord, I preached so many good sermons. But what'd you do in raising your kids? Did you discipline them? Did you take the same interest? Like, I think about this all the time, and like, this is like that, like, if I win at ministry, but I fail with my family, like I said, I'm not going to hell for it, but I tell you what, I really got those priorities mixed up. I really got those priorities out of line, because we are each going to be held accountable. Fathers, you're going to be held accountable to how you fathered. Husbands, how you husband. Wives, how you wived. All of those things, right? How we related in each of those areas that God has called us to do and what he's called us to be. So I want to give us a little bit of guidance here, but a family that grows, you know, in the disciplines of the Lord, I think that's how we keep the family unit a priority. So we have the parents, you have to set the pace in the biblical teaching and the discipline in your home. I hope you're not waiting on your 3 and 4 year olds and your youth coming back from youth group on Wednesday to set the pace for what you're doing in your home. Family, parents, you got to take the lead on this. So what does it mean? You need to be leading in reading the word. You need to be leading in praying. You need to be leading in responding with the challenges of life from a biblical perspective. Don't let your kids figure it out and be like, well, what'd your friends tell you to do? Idiot response. Like, don't do that. Like, help them, you know, biblically. And how many of you know, like, as parents, we learn some stuff the hard way. We can help our kids be successful. They don't think we know nothing or we can understand. Now, things are crazier than they've ever been. But I'll tell you what, there are some high value in street smarts. All right, let me tell you about this. How you know that, Dad? I'll tell you later how I know that. But this is what you need to do, right? All right, so everyone in the family has a part of the family unit. So I want to break down just really quickly some of these parts. Husbands and wives, I want to encourage you to keep your priorities with one another as a priority over your children. You don't like that, moms. You're like, oh, hold on. But my kids need me. Guess what? The first priority is between the husband and the wife. You will have to fight for that priority because you know why? I know that loyalty to our children will overstep the priority to our spouses. I don't have to be like, oh, are my kids a priority? Heck no, it's automatic. If you look, how do I know this? Moms, look at your schedule. How much on there is reflected around time with your kids and what your kids need to do versus what your husband wants to do? Carve out 1 hour to go sit in the garage with my husband. That ain't on your list. It may never be on your list. You're like, I ain't doing that. I'm just telling you, our schedules do not reflect or like, hey, husbands, I'm going to go shopping with my wife. Might not make the list. But my kids need a new pair of shoes for a ball game that's coming up this weekend. Woo! Houston and back. 4 hours later, check, right? So what I'm telling you have to make your relationship as a husband and wife over a priority of your children. Children, don't get mad. You'll understand it one day, the struggle between a spouse and their children, okay? Spend time together growing your relationship with the Lord. So here's what we do as a husband and wife. We pray, we study, we encourage one another. We always put God first in that marriage. Tell you what, as I was preparing this message this week, God was hammering me. Here's what I came to the reality of. If it's a priority, it happens. If it's not a priority, it doesn't happen. And I was thinking about, you know, hey, when I read this list, praying, studying, encouraging, you know what God told me? He says, you like the idea of praying with your wife. You know it's right to pray with your wife. You don't pray with your wife, therefore it's not a priority to you. And it was like, what do I do with that? Because the priority is actually what I do, not what I think about doing, not what I'm ambitious to do, but what I actually do. That's the priority every single time. So, tell you what, the last 3 days, I've been praying with my wife. All of a sudden, navigate. And you know what the sad part of that? Like, Becky had talked to me, said, we need to pray together more. So she did it and, like, kind of encouraged. I was like, man, it's a good idea. And then I was preparing this message, and then God punched me. So I got, like, double-teamed. But nonetheless, we're praying together. Thank you, Lord, for the results, however that came out, right? But the priority is what I do, not what I suggest or what I think is a good idea. What I actually do is the priority, all right? So connect spiritually, connect emotionally, connect intellectually, and connect physically. Be one. Fight for that. Kick them kids out of the room. Send them somebody else. Go on a vacation, just the two of you. Fight for that priority. I'm telling you, it's not going to come easy. Life does not get less demanding. It gets more demanding. So put that as a high priority. And all the husbands and wives said amen. Or I'll check on you in a few weeks. All right, fathers and mothers, train and teach your children in the way of righteousness and help them be successful as they grow into adulthood. Part of letting your children grow is letting them fail in a safe environment. As parents, we don't want our kids ever to fail. We don't want them to, you know, it's like, it's kind of, you guys ever, I don't know, it's an old movie, but Bubble Boy, they put this kid in a bubble so he'd never get hurt, he'd never get injured. And like, we can't let our kids live in a bubble-proof environment that will never cause them to not get hurt, but to grow. We can handicap them from being raised up in a way that's going to make them successful in this world if we don't allow them to grow into adulthood in a safe environment, okay? So understand this. The goal is not perfection. The goal is progress because we never did it right. but hopefully we learn from doing it wrong or doing it right, like that it's a forward progress. Here's what this looks like practically. Let them make their own choices. And here's the hard part. If there is a negative consequence, never step in the way of a consequence, parents. They won't learn. Oh, no, no. I know that was wrong, but they ain't treating my baby like that. And you get in the way of the consequence, they will never learn the consequence for their actions. And then you're like, I don't know why he got thrown in jail. He's a good boy. No, you were a bad mom because you got in the way of that consequence. If you'd have let him learn when he's 12, he wouldn't have made that mistake when he's 21, 22, 23, and those choices matter, right? So it's not that we don't love them. It's helping them grow to understand there is power. You can make great choices. You can make bad choices. Nonetheless, they all have consequences. So don't wait till they're 18 to start doing this, okay? Here's the goal. If they do well making easy decisions, give them a chance to make decisions that carry a little bit more weight. This helps them grow into great young adults. I'm telling you, we can't make every decision for you. That's one of the goals of how we can help them grow as fathers and mothers. All right, so number one, priority, God. Number two, family. Gave you a few little things in there to help you. Number three, ministry. Now, I want to focus really, really quickly. There's two areas of ministry. There is ministry, and I think when we say ministry, we think always inside the four walls of the church, but I want you to think a little bit broader outside the four walls of the church. Ministry is not just what we do on the weekends. It's not just what we do on Sundays, but ministry is what we do outside the four walls of the church, right? You know, Jesus's ministry was more among people than it was in the synagogues and in the temples. Do you realize that? All of his ministry was out and about doing what he was doing, releasing the kingdom of God into his situation. So ministry happens alongside whatever it is we do. If I'm golfing, ministry can happen there. If I'm working 40 to 50 to 60 hours, hopefully you get over 60 hours, Lord help you. But, when I'm at work, that is ministry time. I work ministry into what I do. It's not separate from, right? It's part of life. It's part of what I do. So where I work or where I play is the most effective place for ministry. If we will notice, if we'll pay attention to that. So ministry happens in our community and the place where we have influence, where we get to encourage, where we get to pray, where we can help people. So ministry does not happen just within the four walls of the church. So understand this too. Good work ethic is very, very noticeable to others. I feel like sometimes it's like, you need Jesus. And they're like, man, you don't even show up to work on time. I'm just telling you, work ethic. you need Jesus. Man, you only do half the job like all the time. I'm covering up your slack, brother. It makes it, right? That's what I'm talking about. Your work ethic matters. But it is a gift from God to have the ability to work and create income. We have to know that. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, just saying, I love the scripture. It says, if one who is unwilling to work, or the one who is unwilling to work, shall not eat. I love the Bible, right? You're like, I think that, it don't matter. I feel like I should. Hey, listen, understand unwilling, not unable. Get that there. If you're unable to do it a little bit different, if you're unwilling, how many of you know that's totally different? Okay? So keep working, be diligent. That is a ministry outside the four walls. Let's talk about inside the four walls of the church just a little bit because I think that's valid too. So the point of ministry within the church and the goal of the church is to train and equip you for the work of ministry. I hope I don't have to keep preaching every day of my life till Jesus comes back, that you rise to the occasion in your giftings and callings. And a lot of that ministry, once you have been adequately trained and equipped, you step into the areas of ministry that God has called you to. And I pray we get to see more and more of that gifting and that calling come forth from the church, not the pastor, from the church, because the gifts are distributed, elders, deacons, leaders, worship people, encouragers, all of these things, people that serve each other, okay? So think about this real quick to kind of help you understand what the whole point of the church is sometimes on a weekend. Why do we go to a restaurant to eat? All right, pretty straightforward. Well, I'm going to go to the restaurant, but I'm not going to eat. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, okay? But we go to a restaurant to eat. Why do you go to a movie? To watch the movie or to be entertained, right? So why do you go to church? Big question mark. Let me see there. So we go to church not just to be served, but to serve alongside each other and serve others. We have to understand, why do we show up? Why do we gather? Because we want to serve and we want to bless each other. Okay? It is a blessing to be served, but the purpose of the church becomes clearer when we understand that we're not here just to be served, but to serve one another. All right? Understand this when we talk about ministry. Everyone has a ministry inside of them. You may just not know exactly what it looks like yet. Colossians 4:17, it says, "See to it that you complete the ministry that you have received from the Lord." Can you stand up with me? So when we talk about priorities, here's the takeaway. And this is what nailed me to the wall this week. Ultimately, the priorities are what I do. Don't get mad. Say, "Well, Pastor, you don't understand." I really understand. Right? I got a little bit more interesting job than some of you probably. I always laugh. I was like, "Man, more people, more problems." You know, like, we're at a place as a church, I think we're always going to be working through something, and that's a good thing. Right? But our priorities will always be based on what we actually do. If I say I have a relationship, or my priority is God, let it be reflected in what you do. Amen. Number two, if your family, spouse, or kids is a priority, let it be reflected by what you do. Well, let's say ministry is a priority. Same response. Let it be reflected by what you do or what you model, and be intentional with that. This help y'all a little bit? Walk away understanding we have a ton of options to plug in priorities in our life. But I'm pretty convinced that we can probably, if we're really, really good at prioritizing, maybe we can juggle 6, 7, or 8. Beyond that, they start derailing. So I would challenge you and say, make sure that all of those top priorities in your life are the ones that matter first and foremost to God the most. And really evaluate, I hope they are important to you. And we're not just caught doing a whole bunch of stuff because of external demands or peer pressure, whatever it is. Because we're going to each be accountable to God for what we did or didn't do with those priorities, what we accomplished or what we didn't accomplish. How many of you this morning, and this is what I want our prayer to be, how many of you feel that you can do better in your priority with God, family, or ministry? One of those three. You ain't got to tell me which one. But like, you know right now, you're like, "Man, yeah, I can do better with that." Well, then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. A lot of hands. I mean, like, I don't know whose hand didn't go up. I'm going to pray that this week, God would help you work out these priorities in a way that honors Him. And we start seeing our lives being lived with purpose and perspective when we get these priorities in line. Amen? Can I pray for you? Lord, I thank you for each one here. And Lord, I pray that today, that Lord, all of our priorities would be laid bare before you. Father, if there's priorities that make our top 5, top 10 list that shouldn't be there, Lord, I pray you would reveal to us those things that need to be moved, but those things that need to replace those priorities in our life. Lord, I thank you that your word says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let us ask. So, Father, we ask you for all wisdom in how to live successful, purpose-driven, clearly focused lives. Father, that our priorities are matching your priorities. Father, we do ask that you multiply our time. Man, sometimes we pray for just more time in the day, but I think we need a little bit more strategy in the day. Father, if there's things we need to say yes to, that we would do those. If there's things that we need to say no to, that we would do those also. Father, I thank you, God, that you're going to help us in each of these areas that are important to you and important to us. Father, as we go from this place, I pray you go with us. Father, I pray we'd leave this place encouraged, knowing that you can help us every single time we ask. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you've been encouraged and empowered. If you'd like to know more about our family, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/HTC Bay City, or find us on the web at harvesttimebaycity.com.